This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
So today, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We'll try to figure that out as we go along. Then at the end, I'm going to challenge us to look to see within ourselves to see if we're ready to answer the question, which one do we want to be? What kind of disciple do we want to be? So let's learn what a disciple is and what it should mean to us. And our prayer should be that when we finish, that we will be able to apply this in our lives. The definition of a disciple is one who embraces and assists in the spreading of the teachings of another. But we're not just talking about anybody here. We're talking about assisting in spreading the teachings of Jesus. So this is not a light matter. Other words for disciple are students, observers, apprentice, and followers. So I ask us, which ones do we want to be? Let's read the word and find out what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus in his time. Once we look at this, we should be able to look at ourselves and maybe be better prepared to answer that question. Which one do we want to be? Student, observer, apprentice, or follower? The main text for today's message is in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. But before we go there, I'm going to read in chapter 6, earlier verses 7 through 13. So I'll give you a chance to get there. So verse 7 says that Jesus called the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. So he gave them specific instructions, but they were not to take anything extra with him. So you can just imagine being asked, what if he was to ask us today, if he was to send us on a mission, would we be ready? I mean, like at work, when they send me on a business trip, it takes me a while. I start preparing immediately. I want to see where I'm going, where I'm staying, how long I'm going to be gone. What is it going to cost to get there? How much preparation does it take for me to do something like that? Now imagine going on a mission where they tell you are to go as you are. Would we be ready to do something like that? I mean, for me, it takes hours just to come to church. Can you imagine Jesus speaking to us and asking us to go immediately, leave everything behind and just go? So he told them in verse 10, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. So he told them to basically stay with those that welcomed them and spread the word while they were there. But he also told them not to involve themselves with those who were not ready to receive that message. He told them to shake the dust off their sandals and go. So they were not to waste their time with those cynics or fools who didn't want to listen to the word of God. This is a very serious mission they were on. This was not just any mission or any business trip that they were sent on. But the important thing to see here, and even before where we read that he sent them without anything, they were on a mission from God. And God provides when you're on that mission. So we don't need to be questioning, how are we going to do this? How will we get this accomplished? How will people be open and receptive to listen to our message? We don't need to question that. We're on a mission from God, and he's going to provide. The same way he provided for them, he will provide for us when we accept that mission from the Lord. So you can see that they went out, in 12 it says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. You know, he asked them to go and preach this message of repentance to people and preach the message that Jesus brought to us, which is a message of repentance. And a lot of people aren't ready to hear it. A lot of people are going to reject you. Jesus knew this. That's why he told them not to waste their time with those cynics or fools who wouldn't be ready to listen. He knew that they were going to encounter this, and he knew what they were getting into. But you can see how serious this message is. It's a message of repentance, and that's what Jesus brought us. And that's what we need to be ready to accept. But you know, he knew that they would encounter people who would not accept this message. He told them to move on. He understood that teaching and preaching about repentance is not an easy subject. And he knew that a lot of people aren't ready to hear it. Who wants to be told what you've been doing up until now is wrong? You need to change. And if you don't change, you're jeopardizing your eternal being. Who wants to be told that? Nobody wants to be told that, because we want to think that what we're doing is okay. We're okay with the Lord, but according to whose standards? We're using our standards. We're using our worldly standards, and we're lowering the bar so that we can say we are good people. I mean, you know, I see it as, why am I not good? I'm not out robbing people. I'm not out killing people. I should be okay to go to heaven. I mean, according to my standards, I'm okay. But these are not Jesus' standards. And we cannot lower the bar just so we can feel good about the way we're leading our lives. This is not what he came to preach, and he knew it was a difficult message. Let's see how the disciples reacted to the instructions, though. In verse 12, it says they went out and preached. And they preached that people should repent. But the key phrase here is they went out. They didn't ask Jesus, how long will we be gone? How are we going to pay for our meals where we're staying? What if people don't accept us? What if people reject us? They didn't ask any of that. They went out with zeal and excitement. And you know what? The Lord blessed them abundantly. As we can see in 12 and 13, they were able to preach about repentance. And they drove out many demons and healed many sick people. So they had that power that Jesus had given unto them. And they used it. They experienced it. So we know that the Lord blessed them abundantly. Now let's go to verse 30 and let's take a look about what they did when they returned to Jesus. In verse 30 through 33, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and thought. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So we see that when the disciples got back, they were eager to report to Jesus what they had done. They were eager to tell him that they had used his power and that it worked. To their amazement, it worked. So they were ready to tell Jesus about their stories, their adventures, what they had been through. How many people accepted them, who helped them, who fed them. They were ready to spill their guts. And Jesus understood this. He knew they were tired and hungry, and he knew that they wanted his attention. But the large crowds were too much for them to get Jesus' attention. So knowing this and knowing that they needed to tell their stories, Jesus asked them to find a solitary place where we could go. Well, they found it. They found it, but when they went there, I mean, I could just see the scene. When they went there, they're rowing away from everybody, and the people are running to get ahead of them, to meet them on the other side, because they wanted to be fed. They were hungry for the word. They were hungry for the message that Jesus was bringing, and they wanted to get there. They wanted more. They wanted more, and the disciples wanted Jesus for themselves. You know, it's similar like when we go away from our family and we come back. We want to tell of our stories of where we've been, what we've seen in the city that we went through. What did we have to go through? How much hard work we just put in on a week being away, if it's a business trip. What kind of vacation we have, if it's a vacation. And we're eager to come and tell our stories. But imagine coming back from one of those trips, and instead of having your family to yourself, you have company. And it's the type of company that won't leave. You know, you can have some frustration at times like that. And I think the disciples were showing a little bit of frustration because they wanted Jesus' attention. They wanted to tell him of the things they had done and seen. And yet the crowds weren't allowing for that because there was just too many people around Jesus. So he didn't have the time for them. So they found a solitary place. They got there. But lo and behold, when they get there, people are already there. People are already there waiting for Jesus and waiting for his message. So again, the disciples are found competing for his attention. Let's read what happens in 34 through 36. 34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. So now we know that they landed in a remote place, but the crowds are already there. They're gathered waiting for them. But it says here that Jesus had compassion on them. He didn't send them away. He actually saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And on a separate occasion, when Jesus spoke about being the shepherd and having a flock, he said it this way in John 10:11-13. You don't have to turn there. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then when the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So not only did Jesus speak of himself as being the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, he did it. He went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for us so that we may be saved, so that we could be protected. So, I mean, I ask all of us, who do we want to be? Do we want to be the hired hand who runs away at the first sign of trouble? Or do we want to be like Jesus, have a Jesus-like attitude, and do whatever it takes to protect our flock, to protect our sheep? Which one do we want to be? So, I mean, we see Jesus having compassion on the people, but on the other hand, we see the disciples asking Jesus to send the people away. And when you read into this, it almost seems like they were showing compassion and concern for the people. It's late, they told Jesus. They have to get back to their town so they can buy something, so they can feed themselves before it gets too late and they won't find anything. So it sounds like they were having compassion and concern for the people. But what was the underlying or the hidden agenda that they were using? They wanted Jesus to themselves. Jesus, send these people home. They're not going to find anything open by the time they get back to their towns. They need to feed themselves. So, they saw the people as a burden. They wouldn't go away. So instead of having compassion and being a teacher to them, they were looked upon as a burden. So the people were a burden. They're just there and they're in the way. Are we capable of being like Jesus? When there's a need, do we try to meet that need? Or do we sometimes act like the disciples acted on this occasion? Do we say, not now? I'm doing something else. I'm busy. Do we want to send them away? Or do we want to help that need? Do we have that genuine concern that Jesus showed for his sheep in this occasion? How do we want to act? Or should it be said that we can implement disciple hours? Only come to me with your needs between 8 and 5. Otherwise, I can't help you. Come to me during business hours, not right now. I'm tired, I'm hungry, and I need to tell my story. I can't help you right now. Is that how we should act? So let's continue to see what else developed. In 37 through 44, it says, Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." So he issued a challenge to them. They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" Jesus asked them again, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "We have 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So the disciples went to Jesus to have him send the people away so they could go feed themselves before it got too late. Well, not only did Jesus not agree, but he challenged the disciples. He told them, "You give them something to eat." Jesus challenged the disciples, but not necessarily to go and run an errand, go to the store and buy enough food to feed all these people. Instead, he was challenging their attitudes. How do you want to deal with these people? Do you want to send them away? Do you just want to simply go and buy something and feed them and then send them away? What is your attitude today? He wanted them to have compassion for them, same as Jesus was having. I'm sure Jesus was also tired and hungry after a long day of teaching and preaching. And it says that when he saw them there, he saw a need. He saw sheep without a shepherd. And it says that he began teaching them many things. So he didn't just stop and teach them a quick lesson and send them home. It says many things, not just one quick word and go home. I'm sure they were there for a while, and I'm sure it was wearing on the disciples again. When you look at the disciples' answer, they said to Jesus, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages." They saw this as another burden or obstacle for them. They're looking at it from a practical point of view. We don't have that kind of money. We don't have that kind of time. Where are we going to go and get all this food to feed all these people? So they didn't see this as the challenge that Jesus was offering them. They saw it as a burden. And when Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." He wasn't worried about not having enough. He just wanted to know what he was starting with. So where we see where the disciples went wrong is that they were leaning on their own understanding. How will we feed these people? You know how much money it's going to take to feed a multitude like this? They saw their abilities and capabilities limited. Instead of fully trusting in God, they wanted to approach it very pragmatically. We don't have enough. The disciples figured that it would take 8 months of a man's wages to feed this many people. So, I mean, I can just see them there. 5,000 people, we have to get 5,000 combos from McDonald's at $5 each. That's $25,000. But what they didn't do is they didn't figure God into their equation. They only saw it as an obstacle and as a problem. We don't have enough money. You know what they couldn't do is they couldn't find the God button on the calculator. They just calculated how much it was going to cost. They didn't figure God into their equation. But what we can learn from here is that we need to bring what we have before God and He's going to multiply it. Look at what happened here. Not only were they satisfied, they had leftovers. Same with us. If we bring what we have before God, He's going to multiply it and we're going to have leftovers. But we need to trust God. We need to trust that God is going to do this for us. I mean, this proves a very valuable point because even though we experience God's blessings time and time again, when we see a challenge like this, we still see it as a burden. We see it as a problem that we can't overcome instead of coming to God with what we have. I mean, when Dawn and I were looking for an apartment last year, I went over our budget I don't know how many times. I didn't know if we'd be able to afford it. I didn't know what I could do to stretch the dollar to the max so that I could afford it. But my problem, I also couldn't find the God button on my calculator. The point here is that the disciples were with Jesus day in and day out. They went out to preach. They drove out demons and healed people. They experienced His power. And yet when they come to this challenge, they look at it as something they can't overcome. How could that be possible? Well, that happens with us today too. You know, Jesus told them to feed the crowd. Their answer should have been, "Okay, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We'll ask God and we'll trust them to multiply it. And we'll have enough. We'll have enough to satisfy people." Instead of doubting, "What can we do to feed all these people? It's going to take too much money." You know, I pray that as we read through this and that if we come to an understanding of what a disciple of Jesus is, I pray that we can be followers of Jesus, not just observers. So, I mean, it's okay to be students or apprentices, but that's only for a certain amount of time while you grow spiritually. And when you grow spiritually, it's time to go. It's time to be sent out like the disciples were sent out from Jesus. It's time to put the hand to the plow. We need to be sent out to spread the good news like Jesus did with his disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." But that didn't apply just to his disciples directly there, not just to the 12, it applies to all of us. How is God going to reach all creation unless we're involved? So through this message, we've examined the meaning of being a disciple. That is to go and preach or spread the good news. To have compassion. But when we have compassion, how do we see people? Do we see them as burdens? Or do we see sheep without a shepherd? And how do we approach them? Do we want to help them? Or do we want to send them away? So that is what I'm asking us today, to look at ourselves and see, would we react like the disciples reacted then? Or would we help those needs, meet those needs? Because it doesn't mean that you're going to have to open up your wallet and help people. It could be that you have to minister to somebody. It could be that you have to pray for somebody. It could be as simple as calling somebody during the week, helping them, just encouraging people throughout the week. It could be that simple. But do we see those needs? Are we being sensitive to those needs like Jesus was being sensitive to those people? Lastly, it says he challenged them, "You give them something to eat." So that's our challenge for today. When we think we've reached our limitations, when we're tired or hungry, will we be able to think like disciples? Or will we want to send the people away? How are we going to act? And how are we going to react to those challenges that God puts in front of us? Are we going to be able to overcome them? And are we going to be able to bring Jesus into the equation, bring God into the equation, and figure, when He figures in the picture, we have nothing to worry about? As the disciples went out and preached, you know, they weren't asking, how are we going to do this? How would we do this? They were taken care of. And God provided more than enough for them. He provided for them houses to stay in. He provided food for them to eat. He gave them power. He gave them healing power. And they preached the word of repentance. And you know those that were not ready to hear it? Sorry for them. Because they're missing out. They're jeopardizing their eternal being simply because they don't want to hear the word of God. So I ask today that not only should we embrace the teachings of Jesus, but we should assist in spreading the news of Jesus. We should assist. And you know, it could be as simple. That does not mean that we're going to be sent on a mission like this, that we're going to be sent to a remote town without anything and we're going to expect them to feed us and that we're going to be expected to reach them like that. It could be that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's for everybody. It could be as simple as somebody in your family that hasn't heard about Jesus or that doesn't want to hear about Him. It could be as simple as preaching to them. Reaching out to them and letting them know what a great God we serve. And letting them see the change that God has made in us and how He provides for us, especially when we go on missions from Him. And you know what? You think it's difficult, and I go through it myself. I have family members who don't want to hear about Jesus or are hesitant to hear about Jesus. But you know, we have to keep trying. And if they don't want to hear it, then you know what? I feel bad for them because they're jeopardizing their eternal being. Again, because they're living according to their standards. They're not a bad person. I mean, they should be okay to enter into heaven. But what they don't realize is that Jesus came and He taught us the way. So if we refuse it, that's our fault. That's only on us if we refuse it. So again, just to look at what a disciple is, to go preach, have compassion when you meet people, and give them something to eat. So I pray that we can walk out of here with that attitude, and that as we go into our mission field, that we know that God is providing for us, and that God is going to give us extraordinary power to move ahead with His mission, which is to preach repentance to other people. So that's pretty much all I have. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask You, Lord, that through Your message that somebody could have heard today, that they would be changed, Lord. That we would all walk out of here with the image of Jesus, but to be a true disciple, Lord. That we would walk out of here changed. That we would want to help people when they have needs, Lord. That we wouldn't look at things as burdens. And that we wouldn't look at barriers that we can't overcome, but rather that we trust in God, Lord, in everything we do, that we bring to Him what we have and let Him multiply it. Let Him lead us in our mission field, and we know that He will provide for us. Let us trust in God as we walk out of here. And let God renew us today. And let us have a wonderful week. And if we can reach anybody during that week, let us go ahead and do it. Let us not be ashamed of His word. And let us not hide anything. But let us share the good news as Jesus asked His disciples to do when they were with Him, as He is asking us to do today, as we continue His mission, as we continue to spread the word so we can reach all creation as God intended. And I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.